It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a look at some of the most influential African Americans in Wisconsin today.
First, Democrats got into the debate game last night with the first round in a series of six presidential debates. Five candidates met in Las Vegas with CNN broadcasting the event. Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders have been the top two candidates in the polls. And while they did go back and forth a little bit, there were some friendly moments, too.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too. Me too.
There were three other candidates there looking for a breakout moment last night, Jim Webb, Lincoln Chafee, and Martin O'Malley. And there was a lot of attention on a potential candidate not at the debate, Joe Biden.
You can weigh in with your reaction to the debate at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. David Friedlander joins us now. He's a political analyst and contributing editor to the Daily, contributing writer, to the Daily Beast. David, welcome back for another round of debate coverage.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there's a lot of attention and momentum going in and out of these debates. You tweeted earlier today, yesterday, Clinton in free fall, Biden set to pounce. Today, Clinton inevitable, Biden boxed out. Tomorrow, question marks. Do we overthink this momentum issue around debate time?
Yeah, I think we sort of political analysts have a tendency to sort of oversubscribe to the importance of the most recent thing that happened. If Joe Biden was going to run, certainly, I'm just skeptical that the sort of two-hour performance of Hillary Clinton last night would somehow talk him out of it. He was debating Bernie Sanders and Lincoln Chafee and Martin O'Malley and Jim Webb. I mean, you know, I think Biden must have known what was coming here.
Well, let's get into the email issue. We just heard that exchange with Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. This has been a problem for Hillary Clinton, especially in the polls. It seems like, how did this email issue go over in the debate?
Well, you know, it was interesting. I mean, as you say, she's been getting hammered by this, by Republicans. She's been really unable to get her message out about the policy she wants to enact as president because this whole email question is overwhelming everything. And, you know, Bernie Sanders really threw her a lifeline there and said, you know, essentially saying, we're a united Democratic Party. This is a sideshow of an issue. It's a ginned-up partisan issue. I'm with Hillary Clinton here. And I was wondering who would take that opportunity in the debate to do that, because it's a really gracious move. You're defending the front runner. And it was actually, I mean, he did say, you know, this isn't smart politics to do this. But in fact, I think it probably was smart politics to do it. And I think probably someone like Martin O'Malley was kicking himself that he didn't get a chance to defend Clinton on that matter.
Was there any thought that her opponents might try to use this as an issue to get some traction to take Hillary Clinton's leading campaign, if not inevitable campaign, down a few pegs?
Well, they could have, and I think you saw, you know, Chafee try to do that a little bit. But you know, the Clinton campaign has sort of cleverly parlayed this into being a simple partisan issue, simply something that has no merit and is ginned up by Republicans. And Republicans have sort of helped spread that narrative in a way, with Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy almost admitting as much earlier this month that they were doing these investigations to bring down her approval ratings. So, you know, I mean, it's possible someone could hit her on that, but this was a substantive debate. I mean, they were really arguing about the minutiae of policy details, and it didn't seem like there was a lot of room to get into these kind of, you know, personality-driven scandals.
Yeah, before we get into some of the issues that came up and the individual candidates, we saw huge viewing numbers for the Republican debates. Not quite as high in this debate, but as I understand it, record viewership for Democratic debates. People are into presidential politics this year. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, they really seem to be. I mean, I think it's heartening for people like me, and encouraging. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, without Donald Trump on stage, I think everyone was expecting this to just be a very limited, limited audience for this. It turned out it was 15 million people, which is half of, you know, what the Republicans were. But it's also magnitude more than even Obama and Hillary were doing during that long campaign, which captivated the nation in 2007, 2008. And I think some of it has to do with the fact that there really aren't very many debates this time around on the Democratic side. And so there's just a lot of interest on the few times these guys are going to be on stage.
talking to David Friedlander about last night's Democratic presidential debate. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. One of the issues that came up, and some difference of opinion here, gun control. Here's Hillary Clinton on that issue.
We have to look at the fact that we lose 90 people a day from gun violence. This has gone on too long, and it's time the entire country stood up against the NRA.
Different opinions from Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton went after him on this. Jim Webb, his take on that as well. So the gun issue, talk us through that.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I think one thing that came out in this debate was that, you know, Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Socialist from Vermont, is actually vulnerable on his left flank on a couple of issues. The big one is the gun one. And Hillary Clinton smartly went right after him on that issue. And Sanders really didn't have a defense for it. It seemed like he hadn't sort of thought through what he should say. Sanders, it should be noted, you know, doesn't have the sort of standard F rating from the NRA that many Democrats do. And he's actually, you know, been against gun control on some bills throughout his tenure. And he tried to defend himself by saying, well, I represent a rural state. These bills were complicated. And Hillary Clinton shot back, these weren't complicated bills when I was in the Senate.
Another issue, a lot of attention to economic inequality in this debate, the condition of middle and working class America. Let's give a listen to Bernie Sanders on that.
Do I consider myself part of the casino capitalist process by which so few have so much and so many have so little, by which Wall Street's greed and recklessness wreck this economy? No, I don't. I believe in a society where all people do well, not just a handful of billionaires.
So that's Bernie Sanders' main issue, it seems like. Did other candidates hold their own on making that appeal?
Oh, sure. I mean, that's the sort of central issue of the race right now, I think, is what to do about widening inequality, how to boost wages, how to grow the economy, you know, from the middle out. And Hillary addressed that, too, and you saw Martin O'Malley address that, and to some degree, I think you saw Chafee and Webb address that. I mean, it was interesting, that exchange. I mean, was preceded by a question about whether or not, you know, the candidates favored capitalism or socialism, which was, I thought, a little strange moment to be debating in a presidential forum in 2015. It seemed like something that you usually hear in a freshman dorm room or something. But it made for an interesting back and forth.
Let's go to a caller now at 800-642-1234. Mac is with us in Rice Lake. Mac, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. I'd just like to mention the fact that the media coverage has been a little biased. The media, CNN, Fox News, they all put out polls online where they ask the viewers to vote. And on the CNN poll in particular, Bernie Sanders won 80% and then Hillary had 16. And yet, even though the poll was later removed, and even though he won, all the media coverage is saying that Hillary won and that she's ahead, and the debate won in her favor when all the fans and viewers think otherwise.
Mac, thanks a lot for the call. Mac is not the only one who's made that case, David, that the public, in some ways, some online polls supported Sanders more. They thought he came out better. Media saying this was Clinton's night. Where do you come down on that?
Well, I mean, I think a few things. I think for one thing, you know, online polls as a piece of data are useless. I mean, they're just however many people are online and see that website and click. It doesn't really tell us very much. You know, maybe you just have more of an engaged online fan base than the other people, but they would be easy to manipulate. That's one thing. I do think there is a disconnect between, you know, how the sort of experts are saying Hillary did and how, you know, people on the ground are saying Bernie Sanders did. But, you know, I think that one thing, this sort of notion of who quote-unquote won is really silly. I mean, it's not really, this is not a high school or college, you know, debating competition. The question is whether or not they improved their standing or diminished their standing, whether or not they did what they wanted to do or didn't do what they wanted to do in terms of reaching the voters that they wanted to reach. And I think it, beyond a doubt that Hillary Clinton did that. I mean, she was confident and fluent and knew the issues and funny. I think Bernie did that to a large degree as well. I mean, I think you could really see the appeal of Bernie Sanders, even if he got a little muddled on some issues. And I think the others probably, you know, didn't do that, frankly.
We'll get into some of those others in just a bit as we talk about last night's Democratic presidential debate. David Friedlander is with us. He's a political analyst and contributor to The Daily Beast.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the debate? Do you have thoughts about winners or losers and the issues and how they were discussed, or maybe about the format? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We continue our conversation about last night's presidential debate with David Friedlander, contributing editor for The Daily Beast.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of last night's debate? A lot of the media saying Hillary Clinton did well, won, if you want to say winners or losers. Do you agree? Did anybody stand out for good or bad reasons? Were there issues you were glad came up, issues you wished had come up but didn't? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And David, two candidates people are talking about, three that people haven't been. Did any of them stand out to the extent that they hoped to, maybe needed to, in that debate?
No, I mean, to borrow Hillary Clinton's line from last night, no, they really didn't. I mean, you know, it didn't even seem like it was worth it to have them be answering questions, I thought, at times. So one of them, Martin O'Malley, the governor of Maryland, highly regarded in many ways, many people thought would be a major contender, has a great resume, has really kind of struggled to break out of the pack. He's polling in the low single digits. He's sort of one of these guys who's right now kind of betwixt and between. He doesn't quite have the sort of ornery firepower of Bernie Sanders, but he's also, you know, doesn't have the broad party appeal of Hillary Clinton. And I think a lot of people were looking for him last night to really try to create a kind of breakout moment, and he just failed to do that. And you know, he's working hard, he's campaigning all over the country. Hard to see how he's able to stick around that much longer. And the other two candidates, you know, Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee. I mean, I thought they didn't even really belong on the stage many times. I mean, both of them have almost no campaign apparatus. They've raised no money. They're really only barely campaigning. And it didn't seem like, you know, they had, maybe at times they may have had interesting things to say, but they weren't really, who cared? I mean, they weren't really mattering to this campaign.
Well, let's compare and contrast the presidential fields here. We have a huge cast of characters on the Republican side, a lot of them viewed within the party as legitimate contenders. The Democratic side, you've got Hillary Clinton, a front runner, Bernie Sanders, a strong challenger, and then the other three. Of those five I just said, two have held political office as non-Democrats, Bernie Sanders, independent, Lincoln Chafee as a Republican. So why aren't more big-name candidates out there? Is it just because a lot of people looked at this and said, I'm not going to run against Hillary Clinton this time around?
I think that's exactly what it is. I mean, I think that, you know, what we saw in 2008 when Obama knocked off Hillary Clinton is really pretty unusual for someone who the party is largely behind to end up losing the nomination. And so when she got a second chance, she's a path-breaking candidate, being the first woman, if she wins, to win the office. I think folks just thought that there was really no room. I mean, the you know, the sort of two wings of the party, Clinton wing and Obama wing, that we saw in 2008, if they're both behind Clinton this time around, what's the point of running here? So that's part of it. And you know, I think another part of it is that Democrats have lost so badly in the midterm elections of 2012, 2014. There aren't that many candidates you could even conceive of as being plausible nominees out there after Clinton.
Talking to David Friedlander about last night's Democratic presidential debate. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of the candidates? Do you wish Joe Biden had been on the stage or not? Let's get into some of the moments here in the campaign. I want to give a listen to Jim Webb now, answering a question. They'd ask a question to, who are you glad is your enemy?
I'd have to say the enemy soldier that threw the grenade that wounded me, but he's not around right now to talk to.
So Jim Webb didn't make a strong impression in the debate. That's a moment that's going to stand out as memorable. Have you seen anything like that in a debate before?
No, that was remarkable moment when one of the candidates, you know, sort of obliquely mentions killing someone on a battlefield with a smirk. I mean, I think you sort of heard the nervous laughter there, and I don't really quite know how to react to it even. I mean, it wasn't even really answering the question, right? I mean, the question was, who is the enemy that doesn't want to see you win office? And people were talking about Iran, the Republicans, you know, that kind of thing. And, yeah, I mean, that was just, that was a sort of remarkable moment.
Well, one thing I thought about that is there's an appetite, at least on the Republican side, for people who don't talk like politicians, and that, you know, Donald Trump and Ben Carson doing well in polls. Is there any of that kind of appetite on the Democratic side that isn't maybe satisfied by Bernie Sanders that might look for somebody who doesn't sound like everybody else?
I don't think there is. I mean, I think Bernie Sanders probably takes that up. I mean, you know, Jim Webb, you mentioned that Chafee was Republican. You know, Webb served in the Reagan administration, and he's sort of really running in a way to be the candidate of sort of the white working class male who's largely, frankly, abandoned the Democratic Party. And there just aren't that many of the constituency he's trying to appeal to left in the primary. So, you know, he may have been trying to do that, but I think it was a bit of a clanging note.
Let's key in on Martin O'Malley now. He pointed toward his record as mayor of Baltimore, governor of Maryland. Here's a bit about Baltimore, and there was some fact-checking challenging some of his claims in this exchange. Here he is.
We've saved over 1,000 lives in Baltimore in the last 15 years of people working together, and the vast majority of them were young and poor and black. It wasn't easy on any day, but we saved lives and we gave our city a better future, improving police and community relations every single day that I was in office.
So Martin O'Malley trying to draw on his record again as mayor, as governor. You know, if he doesn't make the case this time, do you think he's maybe getting his name out there for a future presidential run?
Well, I think he would like to do that. I mean, I think that was probably the idea. You know, he was a big Clinton supporter in 2008, and I think he thought, you know, if I just run a good race, a positive race, I finish a strong second place, I can still have a future in presidential politics. But the problem is that he's doing so poorly. You know, he's at 1 or 2% in the polls. I saw somewhere that he was at 3 or 4% in his home state of Maryland. But I think if you do so poorly your first time out, it's really hard to then make a case that you deserve a second chance. And so he's in a little bit of a desperate situation here, where on the one hand, he doesn't want to go full Bernie Sanders, because I think he thinks that would sort of hurt his chances down the road. He doesn't want to criticize Hillary Clinton because he knows that she's going to be the nominee. So he's in this box and he can't kind of figure his way out of it.
Well, the one voice we haven't checked out yet is Lincoln Chafee. Here he is talking about that whole label transition he's done over the years.
I have not changed on the issues. I was a liberal Republican, then I was an independent, and now I'm a proud Democrat, but I have not changed on the issues. And I open my record to scrutiny, whether it's on the environment, a woman's right to choose, gay marriage.
So one question that people are saying he didn't really address was why he's running for president, why he's running as a Democrat. Are people still puzzled by Lincoln Chafee on that stage?
Well, I mean, I think the reason Lincoln Chafee is running for president is because he gets to be on that stage. I mean, that's really the end-all, be-all of it. He's hardly running for president. I mean, he has, like I said, he has no campaign apparatus. He's scarcely campaigning. I think he's raised something like $30,000. I mean, this is a guy who did not run for re-election as governor of Rhode Island because he was overwhelmingly unpopular. He probably would have lost in the primary there. He was one of the most unpopular governors in the nation. You know, to turn around and then run for president after that, it's just a little far-fetched. And, you know, he's an afterthought in this whole race.
You mentioned earlier, David, a lot of focus on substantive issues, maybe not as confrontational as some of the Republican debates, and a lot of attention given to a lot of the candidates attacking Republicans specifically. So is this going to be mostly a nice primary campaign on the Democratic side?
I think it is. I mean, you know, the most aggressive one on the stage, right, was Hillary Clinton and how she went after Bernie Sanders. And I think that, you know, and part of that's because everyone sort of sees the writing on the wall here. I mean, it remains unlikely that any of these other candidates are going to be the nominee, and I think they want a united front against the Republican Party. I mean, it doesn't even seem, as we've been talking here, as if they're all necessarily running to win, right? I mean, you have Webb and Chafee, who seem to be just interested in getting their name out there. You have Bernie Sanders, who I think is probably more interested in kind of pulling the party to the left and getting his agenda some publicity. You have Martin O'Malley, who's kind of trying to set himself up for the future. So, you know, you have Hillary Clinton, and it doesn't make sense for there to be a lot of sniping back and forth.
Sometimes the the campaign opponents are maybe auditioning for a vice presidential slot. Do you see any possibility that it might happen, say, if Clinton is the ultimate winner, that she'd look to this pool for a VP?
I mean, I'm just not seeing it because I think that they just haven't impressed. I mean, you know, Sanders, I think the sort of socialist label would be disqualifying on a national stage politically for him. You know, I think Webb and Chafee they just don't have the credibility. You know, they're hardly even running. They weren't impressive in their campaign. They weren't impressive on stage. O'Malley would potentially be that guy, but he's kind of, you know, as he's tried to remain relevant, he's kind of sharpening his attacks on Clinton, which I think probably disqualify him for that role. But of that group, the only conceivable one, I think, would be O'Malley. But I doubt it will be him.
David, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That's David Friedlander, contributing writer for The Daily Beast.